not, open up to Jeremiah chapter 39. Jeremiah 39. We've been going through the book of Jeremiah, and tonight is definitely one of the most important chapters in the book of Jeremiah. Everything has been kind of leading up to this chapter now. Jeremiah chapter 39. We're going to talk tonight about the fall of Jerusalem. And everything we've studied so far has been leading up to the fall of Jerusalem. Chapter 39. Reading in verse 1, in the ninth year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the tenth month, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and all his army against Jerusalem, and they besieged it. And in the 11th year of Zedekiah, in the fourth month, in the ninth day of the month, the city was broken up. And all the princes of the king of Babylon came in and sat in the middle gate. Even Nergal-Sharezer, Samgar-Nebo, Sarshikim, Rabsaris, Nergal-Sharezer, Rabmag, with all the residue of the princes of the king of Babylon. It came to pass that when Zedekiah, the king of Judah, saw them and all the men of war, then they fled and went forth out of the city by night, by the way of the king's garden, by the gate betwixt the two walls, and he went out the way of the plain. But the Chaldeans' army pursued after them and overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho. And when they had taken him, they brought him up to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, to Riblah in the land of Hamath, where he gave judgment upon him. Then the king of Babylon slew the sons of Zedekiah in Riblah before his eyes. Also the king of Babylon slew all the nobles of Judah. Moreover, he put out Zedekiah's eyes and bound him with chains to carry him to Babylon. And the Chaldeans burned the king's house and the houses of the people with fire and break down the walls of Jerusalem. Then Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carried away captive into Babylon the remnant of the people that remained in the city and those that fell away that fell to him with the rest of the people that remained. But Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, left of the poor of the people, which had nothing, in the land of Judah, and gave them vineyards and fields at the same time. Now Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, gave charge concerning Jeremiah to Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, saying, "Take him and look well to him, and do him no harm. But do unto him even as he shall say unto thee." So Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, sent, and Nebuchadnezzar, Rabsaris, and Nergal-Sharezer, Rabmag, and all the king of Babylon's princes, even they sent and took Jeremiah out of the court of the prison and committed him unto Gedaliah, the son of Ahikim, the son of Shaphan, that he should carry him home. So he dwelt among the people. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah while he was shut up in the court of the prison, saying, "Go and speak to Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Behold, I will bring my words upon this city for evil, and not for good, and they shall be accomplished in that day before thee. But I will deliver thee in that day, saith the Lord, and thou shalt not be given into the hand of men of whom thou art afraid. For I will surely deliver thee, and thou shalt not fall by the sword, but thy life shall be for a prey unto thee, because thou hast put thy trust in me, saith the Lord." All right, let's stop right here and pray. Heavenly Father, help us now tonight as we look at this very important historical section of Scripture about the fall of Jerusalem. And may the Spirit of God speak to our hearts, and may we apply it even today to the situation here in America. We might be living on the very same kind of time period when America might fall. We're certainly living in perilous times. I do pray you'll help us now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, everything we studied so far has been leading up to the fall of Jerusalem. We see that here in chapter 39, verses 1 and 2. The day has finally arrived when Nebuchadnezzar broke down the wall and entered the city. Well, his army did, anyway. Now, Harry Ironside said, "The long-suffering patience of God at last gives way to judgment. The glory departs, and Jerusalem is delivered into the hands of the Gentiles." The Schofield Study Bible says this conquering of Jerusalem, this taking over, overthrow of Jerusalem, marks the beginning of the times of the Gentiles. The mark of which is that Jerusalem is trodden down of the Gentiles. That is under Gentile overlordship. And Schofield says this has been true from the time of Nebuchadnezzar to this day. In other words, the time of the Gentiles that our Lord spoke about, and our Lord did talk about it in Luke 21, verse 24, the time of the Gentiles began right here when Nebuchadnezzar overthrew Jerusalem and will continue until the second coming of Christ. Referring to the coming tribulation period, Jesus said in Luke 21, 24, "And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled." So therefore, by comparing our Lord's words with our story tonight, we can conclude that the time of the Gentiles began when King Nebuchadnezzar overthrew Jerusalem, and that will continue that way until the second coming of Christ. I've been really praying a lot and thinking a lot about some of these things, and I believe we're getting so close to the second coming of Christ. I really believe that. In fact, I think I'm going to preach about it this Sunday. I mean, we're getting close. And we really got to pray for our country. And we got to pray for our community, that we can win as many souls as we can, because the days are running out. It's going to come a time our opportunities will be gone. The Lord is coming back. Now, this chapter tonight can be divided into four parts. I'll give you my four-part outline here. I divided the chapter into four parts. First, and I guess you might say first and foremost, the collapse of Jerusalem. That's the big thing. The collapse of Jerusalem. Secondly, the capture of King Zedekiah. Thirdly, the release of Jeremiah. Notice everybody else was taken away prisoner. He was let go. The release of Jeremiah, and fourthly, the message to Ebed-Melech. Now, you remember last week, I think most of you were here last week, we saw how this Ethiopian eunuch named Ebed-Melech was very kind to Jeremiah. He saw Jeremiah in the dungeon, sinking in the mire, and he went to the king and said, "We've got to get him out of there." And the Lord honored that. And by the way, not only did the Lord honor what he did, but the Lord said in chapter 39, verse 18, "Because thou hast put thy trust in me, saith the Lord." In other words, Ebed-Melech wasn't just a good man, he was a saved man. And I think the reason he had a heart for Jeremiah, because he was a saved man. We'll say more about that in a few minutes. First, let's look at the collapse of Jerusalem. The collapse of Jerusalem, by the way, is described in greater detail in chapter 52, the very last chapter of the book of Jeremiah. If you really want to study it in more detail, the last chapter, 52, gives us more information. It's also described in 2 Kings 25. It's also described in 2 Chronicles 36. It's certainly the big event in the Old Testament, or one of the big events of the Old Testament, the collapse of Jerusalem. Everything's kind of leading up to this. All these prophets kept warning the people, and finally Jeremiah kept warning the people, and finally here it arrived. Nebuchadnezzar broke through the wall and destroyed the city. He took away the people into captivity. So it's described in greater detail, in addition to chapter 39 and chapter 52, and 2 Kings 25 and 2 Chronicles 36. The Babylonian army, the Chaldeans, they besieged the city for 18 months until they finally broke down the walls and entered in. We see that here in chapter 39, verses 1 and 2. Referring to this recorded date of the collapse of Jerusalem, G. Campbell Morgan said, "We, in our security, need to be reminded that for us also there may come the 11th year and the 4th month and the 10th day of the month, when God will hurl us from our place of privilege, as he surely will, unless we are true to him." Now Nebuchadnezzar, King Nebuchadnezzar, was not actually present when Jerusalem fell, but his chief princes represented him, and his chief princes sat in the middle gate to direct the troops. If you look at verse 3, it gives us the name of some of these princes. Now, by sitting in the middle gate, that signified they were taken over. When you read the Bible, the Old Testament, talking about the gate of the city, By them sitting in the middle gate, that signified we're in charge now. And so they sat there in the gate, signifying their success in overthrowing Jerusalem. In his commentary on the book of Jeremiah, Ironside refers to these princes, and he points out that two princes bear the same name, Nergal-Sharezer. You notice that in verse 3? Nergal-Sharezer is mentioned first, and then he's mentioned again later on. He's mentioned twice. Ironside said it's a title, not a name. It's not a personal name. Just like I mentioned last week, in chapter 38, we met this Ethiopian eunuch by the name of, how do you pronounce it? Ebed-Melech. We're going to talk about him again tonight. And some people said that's not really his name. It's just a title. Well, the same thing for these Babylonian princes. And it's really a title. And Ironside said this about Nergal-Sharezer. It's a title signifying they were priests of the Babylonian mysteries. He says the title is similar to the Roman Pontifex Maximus. Does that sound familiar? Pontifex Maximus? As one of the titles the Pope gives himself. And so really, Nergal-Sharezer really had that same kind of position as the Pontifex Maximus. So the Pope is not in the lineage of the Lord of Peter. He's in the lineage of Nergal-Sharezer. Some better tell him that. That's his last name and job anyway. It doesn't matter. Well, they can tell the new Pope when he comes in that he's not descended from Peter. He's descended from some Babylonian heathen. All right. So the first big thing here is the collapse of Jerusalem. Secondly, the capture of King Zedekiah. Now, last week we noticed in chapters 37 and 38, we saw a vivid contrast between the prophet Jeremiah and King Zedekiah. I mean, two men couldn't be more different. We see it again tonight in chapter 39. Though Jeremiah repeatedly told the king that it would be foolish to try and escape, that he'd never be able to escape, King Zedekiah and his family and the members of the royal court fled when they saw the princes at the gate. When they saw that the princes of Babylon had taken over Jerusalem, they tried to flee. We see that in verse 4. They fled by night, hoping to escape. But they were overtaken. King Zedekiah was overtaken by the Chaldees' army in the plains of Jericho. We see that in verse number 5. From there, Zedekiah was brought to the military base of King Nebuchadnezzar. King Nebuchadnezzar was out in Riblah, and they brought him to Riblah to see King Nebuchadnezzar. So King Zedekiah faced the judgment of King Nebuchadnezzar. If you look at verse 5. But the Chaldeans' army pursued after them and overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho. And when they had taken him, they brought him up to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, to Riblah in the land of Hamath. Watch this, where he gave judgment upon him. Now, King Zedekiah faced the judgment of King Nebuchadnezzar, but really he was facing the judgment of God. Nebuchadnezzar was his God's instrument. That's really what it was all about. Referring to the duplicity of King Zedekiah, specifically the fact that he broke the covenant that he had made with Nebuchadnezzar. Remember, Nebuchadnezzar really put Zedekiah on the throne. He put him there. He's like his puppet. And he gave him some instructions, but King Zedekiah was disloyal and treacherous. And he broke the covenant with Nebuchadnezzar. Referring to that fact that he broke the covenant, Ezekiel made this prophecy. In Ezekiel 17, verses 18 and 19. Book of Ezekiel, chapter 17, 18 and 19, says this, "He shall not escape." So Ezekiel prophesied that Zedekiah would not be able to escape. "He shall not escape. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, as I live, surely mine oath that he hath despised." Notice God calls it mine oath. "And my covenant that he hath broken, even it will I recompense upon his own head." So God said that. Now look also, this is a really interesting thing here. Look at Ezekiel chapter 12. That, I just read Ezekiel chapter 17, verse 18 and 19. Go to Ezekiel 12 now. Another fascinating prophecy. Look at Ezekiel 12, verse 12. Ezekiel 12, 12. "My net also will I spread upon him." Now think about it. Who captured Zedekiah? Well, it says in Jeremiah chapter 39, the Chaldeans' army captured him. But look what God says. Here's some God's perspective. my net also will I spread upon him, and he shall be taken in my snare. And I will bring him to Babylon, to the land of the Chaldeans. Yet shall he not see it. How come he couldn't see it? Because King Nebuchadnezzar put his eyes out. And that must have been painful, too. I'm sure you'd give him anesthetic and bring him an operating table and, probably just got a knife and gouged his eyes out. He took his eyes out. Yet shall he not see it, though he shall die there. And I will scatter toward every wind all that are about him to help him and all his bands, and I will draw out the sword after them. Now that's quite an amazing prophecy there. If you go, Ezekiel 12:12. And the prince that is among them shall bear upon his shoulder in the twilight. In other words, he tried to escape in the twilight. And shall go forth. They shall dig through the wall to carry out thereby. He shall cover his face, that he shall not see the ground with his eyes. My net also I spread upon him. So there's a prophecy regarding the capture of King Zedekiah and the fact that Nebuchadnezzar put his eyes out. It's interesting. The last thing that Zedekiah saw before his eyes were put out was his sons being killed. Now think about that. He saw that, then put his eyes out. So that thought must have been running through his mind for all those years, remembering how his sons were killed and his eyes were put out. And the last thing he can remember seeing. That must have been very painful for Zedekiah. But he brought it upon himself, because Jeremiah kept warning him and warning him, pleading with him, but he wouldn't listen to Jeremiah. So the very last thing Zedekiah saw before his eyes were gouged out was the execution of his sons and all the nobles of Judah. If you look at Jeremiah 39, go back to Jeremiah 39, it says here in chapter 39, verse 6, then the king of Babylon slew the sons of Zedekiah and Riblah before his eyes. Also, the king of Babylon slew all the nobles of Judah. So all of his closest associates, his nobles, the princes, were all slaughtered, all executed. Moreover, he put out Zedekiah's eyes and bound him with chains to carry him to Babylon. Again, if King Zedekiah would have done what Jeremiah had told him to do, his sons would not have died, and Jerusalem would not have been destroyed, and all these other terrible things wouldn't have happened to him. If you look back at chapter 38, verse 17, I could give you many, many, many examples, but just give you one for now. Jeremiah 38, verse 17. This happened right before the fall of Jerusalem. Then said Jeremiah to Zedekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, if thou wilt assuredly go forth unto the king of Babylon's princes, then thy soul shall live, and this city shall not be burned with fire, and thou shalt live, watch this, and thine house. House means your family, your sons are going to live too. But he didn't obey the word of the Lord. He didn't listen to what Jeremiah was saying. And then verse 18. Jeremiah 38, verse 18. But if thou wilt not go forth to the king of Babylon's princes, then shall this city be given into the hand of the Chaldeans, and they shall burn it with fire, and thou shalt not escape out of their hand. I mean, Jeremiah couldn't have made it any plainer, but Zedekiah wouldn't listen. Some people, you just can't help them, You try to help them, you try to reason with them, but they just don't listen. His sons were slain before his eyes, and Jerusalem was burned to the ground, and Jeremiah said it didn't have to happen that way. And then he was bound with chains, carried away to Babylon. Jeremiah 52, verse 11, says this. Then he put out the eyes of Zedekiah, and the king of Babylon bound him in chains and carried him to Babylon and put him in prison till the day of his death. So when he got to Babylon, he was put right into prison, and he stayed there in prison. He couldn't see a thing. His eyes were put out, and he stayed there till the day of his death. Now, there were three deportations to Babylon. During the first deportation, King Jehoiachin had been taken to Babylon, along with his mother and his servants and his princes and his officers. According to 2 Kings 24:12, This took place during the 8th year of the reign of King Jehoiachin. Then 11 years later, King Zedekiah had his eyes put out, and he was taken as a prisoner to Babylon. This is described here in Jeremiah 39, when Jerusalem fell. The final and last deportation took place 5 years later, and only a small remnant stayed behind in Jerusalem. If you look at chapter 52, what I'm trying to say is this deportation took place in stages. It wasn't all one big deportation. It was three major deportations. If you look at Jeremiah 52, verse 28, this is the people whom Nebuchadnezzar carried away captive. In the 7th year, 3,000 Jews and 23. That's when King Jehoiachin was taken. In the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar, he carried away captive from Jerusalem 832 persons. That's when Zedekiah was taken. And then in the 23rd year of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carried away captive of the Jews 745 persons. All the persons altogether were told were 4,600. Now, the final deportation is recorded here in chapter 52, the conclusion of the book of Jeremiah. Going back to chapter 39, I said I divided the chapter into four sections. First, we see the collapse of the city. Then we see the capture of King Zedekiah. Thirdly, we see the release of Jeremiah. We see the release of Jeremiah. King Nebuchadnezzar put the captain of the guard, Nebuzaradan, in charge and told him to take good care of Jeremiah. Look at chapter 39, verse 11. Now, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, gave charge concerning Jeremiah to Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, saying, verse 12, take and look well to him and do him no harm. But do unto him even as he shall say unto thee. So, Nebuchadnezzar gave instructions to take good care of Jeremiah. Again, once again, we see a startling contrast between Jeremiah and Zedekiah. Jeremiah was faithful to God, and God looked out over him, and he was taken care of. Zedekiah was unfaithful, and he had his eyes put out. Watched his sons being killed, then his eyes were put out, then he was taken away and changed to Babylon. What a contrast, man. And listen, it pays to serve the Lord, amen? Sure. I mean, the Bible tells us that over and over again. We see it again here tonight, in this contrast between Zedekiah and Jeremiah. You know, there's a big contrast. Jeremiah was godly, he was faithful. Zedekiah was ungodly and treacherous. Back in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 8, and again in Jeremiah 15, verse 20, and verse 21, the Lord promised Jeremiah that he would be delivered from the hand of the wicked. Quickly, let's look at that. Jeremiah 1:8. Jeremiah 1:8. Jeremiah 1:8. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. So God said, I'm with thee to deliver thee. Be not afraid. And then look at Jeremiah chapter 15 and verse 20. Jeremiah 15, 20. And I will make thee unto this people a fenced brazen wall, and they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee to save thee and to deliver thee, saith the Lord. And I will deliver thee out of the hand of the wicked, and I will redeem thee out of the hand of the terrible. So God promised Jeremiah that he would deliver him, to protect him. And we see that happen. So Nebuchadnezzar told his captain of the guard, you take good care of Jeremiah. Take care of him. Look well to him. Do him no harm. And that's exactly what happened. Now, King Zedekiah was also promised safety on the condition that he obeyed. He would obey the Lord. But since he refused to obey the Lord, he had to suffer all the consequences. And again, you can make a lot of applications about that. How many times do we tell people, if you do right, God is going to take care of you. God will bless you. But if you do wrong, you're going to suffer the consequences. And some people just don't listen. It's amazing to me, but I see it time and time again. Not just young people, even older people. Do foolish things, and they have to suffer the consequences. It's interesting that even the heathen captain of the guard, this Nebuzaradan, he recognized all of this. He saw God's hand in all of this. Now, he's a heathen, He was practically the god of the Babylonian army, but he saw God's hand in this. Look at chapter 40. Look at chapter 40, verse 1. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord after that Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, had let him go from Ramah, when he had taken him being bound in chains among all that were carried away captive of Jerusalem and Judah, which were carried away captive unto Babylon. And the captain of the guard took Jeremiah and said unto him, verse 2, the Lord thy God hath pronounced this evil upon this place. So he recognized that. He said, this happened because your God judged Judah. Your God is judging Jerusalem and Judah. See that? He said, the Lord thy God. Notice, your God. It wasn't his God, because he worshipped all sorts of heathen gods like Baal and so on. He goes, the Lord thy God hath pronounced this evil upon this place. Now the Lord hath brought it and done according as he had said. See, he's saying the Lord kept his word. The Lord fulfilled his promise. Just like he said he was going to do, he did it. Why? Because you have sinned against the Lord and then obeyed his voice. Therefore, this thing has come upon you. This captain of the guard had more sense than King Zedekiah. Verse 4, now behold, I loose thee this day from the chains which were upon thine hand. If it seem good unto thee to come with me to Babylon, come. And I will look well unto thee. But if it seem ill unto thee to come with me to Babylon, forbear. Behold, all the land is before thee. Whether it seemeth good and convenient for thee to go, thither go. Isn't that something? That this captain of the guard, he saw God's hands in all of this. He saw what God was doing. But yet, King Zedekiah did not see that, would not acknowledge that. So Jeremiah was told to go to Gedaliah. Gedaliah, we're told in verse 14, chapter 39, verse 14. Even they sent and took Jeremiah out of the court of the prison and committed him unto Gedaliah. And there he was free to dwell among the people. We see that in verse 14. They should carry him home, so he dwelt among the people. Now, the passage I just read in chapter 40 says Jeremiah was brought to Ramah, bound in chains, and then sent back to Gedaliah. So the account in chapter 40 looks a little bit different than what we have here in 39. Apparently, the original orders were for him to go directly from the court of the prison to Gedaliah. He was free to dwell among the people. We see that here in chapter 39, verse 14. But due to some mix-up, he was brought with the prisoners to Ramah. And that's understandable. Probably a lot of people around. They're all being herded off to Babylon. He might have got mixed up with that bunch. And this confusion occurred during this mass deportation of the people. But once the mistake was discovered, Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, gave Jeremiah a choice. He can go wherever he wanted. Again, look at chapter 40, verse 4. He said, if it seems good unto thee to come with me to Babylon, you can come. If you want to go with me to Babylon? Or he said, I'll look well unto thee, but if it seems ill unto thee to come with me into Babylon, forbear. Behold, all the land is before thee. In other words, because you go anywhere you want. What a difference between Zedekiah, who was bound in chains, had his eyes put out, he's taken in chains to Babylon. Jeremiah's told, go wherever you want. You're a free man, you can go wherever you want. Now, he was told to go to Gedaliah, and that's where he decided to go. If you look at chapter 39, verse 14, he committed him unto Gedaliah. And if you look at chapter 40, verse 5, now he was not yet gone back. He said, go back also to Gedaliah. So he went to Gedaliah. I want to say this tonight. This Gedaliah is not the same Gedaliah who wanted to kill Jeremiah. There's two men with the same name. If you go back to chapter 38, verse 1, then Shephatiah, the son of Matan, and Gedaliah, the son of Pashur. Notice, this Gedaliah is the son of Pashur. And they said in verse 4 to the king, we beseech thee, let this man be put to death. So this Gedaliah wanted to kill Jeremiah. But now you come to chapter 39, and you see it's Gedaliah, the son of Ahikim, not the general Gedaliah, the son of Pashur. So it's a different Gedaliah. I hope everybody sees that tonight. The Gedaliah who wanted to kill Jeremiah in chapter 38, verse 1, is called Gedaliah, the son of Pashur. This other Gedaliah, who Jeremiah was told, go stay with him, he's Gedaliah, the son of Ahikim. We see that in chapter 39, verse 14. And then over here in chapter 40, verse number 5. So Jeremiah went with this Gedaliah. By the way, this Gedaliah became the governor of Judah. Remember now, Zedekiah was the last king. There were no more kings after Zedekiah. And there will be no more king until King Jesus comes back. There was no kings after that. He was the last king, Zedekiah. And that's why Jesus called it the times of the Gentiles. Gentiles were controlling that part of the world. After Babylon was Media Persia, then the Greeks and the Romans. Even today, the Jews can't even call Jerusalem their capital. They have to call Tel Aviv their capital. And still, they still don't have total control over their own country. But there was no more king. And so they made Gedaliah the governor. Chapter 40, verse 7. Now when all the captains of the forces which were in the fields, I'm reading from chapter 40, verse 7, even they and their men heard that the king of Babylon had made Gedaliah the son of Ahikam governor in the land, and had committed unto him men and women and children, and of the poor of the land, of them that were not carried away captive to Babylon, and so on. So notice that Gedaliah was made the governor. This is the same man that Jeremiah was told, go stay with him. Well, the final thing we see here tonight in chapter 39 is the message to Ebed-Melech. And it really ties in with what we read in chapter 38. In chapter 38, we see that Jeremiah was put in a dungeon. Chapter 38, verse 6.